Thank God. Well, we've been talking about healing the last couple weeks. Those messages are on the web if you missed any of those. But, you know, we started out saying that the original cause of sickness is sin. That when sin entered the world, that's what brought sickness, that's what brought death into the world and set off a whole chain of events that wasn't supposed to be. That's not the way God created us to be. He didn't create our bodies. I mean, obviously, He created the bodies to be able to handle some of the things that have been thrown at us, but that's not the original way. It's mutations. It's things that are messed up, not the way that they should be. And so sickness came from sin, and we talked about that Jesus came to deal with sin. He came to forget, to eradicate sin, to put us, to make a way for us to be back in the same position we were with the Father as Adam was. That's the way He intended us to be. So that position, that righteousness that Adam had, he lost. He lost that position when he sinned, and all mankind followed him. And so Jesus came to restore us back. And because Jesus came to restore us back, He dealt with sin. He dealt with the main problem. If we can stand in the presence of Almighty God without any sense of inferiority, without any sense of intimidation, that we know that we're supposed to be there because of Jesus, that has dealt with the root of sickness. See, there wasn't any sickness until there was sin. So if we've dealt with sin through Jesus, then we've dealt with sickness. And so we last week we talked about those and tied those two together, that we're redeemed from sickness or disease in our bodies, weakness from our bodies, just like we're redeemed from sin. That if we can have faith to believe God that Jesus died for us so that we could have a right position with Him, in the same way that we can believe Him to have salvation, believe to have a right relationship with Him today, it's the exact same thing that we believe to be healed today. That we read back in Exodus how it says that the Lord God is our healer. He's our physician. And if we accept Him as our healer, the same way as we've accepted Him as our Savior, then they go hand in hand. Jesus is the keeper of the covenant. Jesus is the one that makes us righteous. Jesus is the one that qualifies us to enjoy health and healing. But there is something we have to do. Just like there's something we have to do, you know, not everybody on the earth is in right relationship with God. Why is that? Because they have to hear the word and they have to believe the word. They have to believe, they have to hear that Jesus redeemed them. They have to hear that Jesus made them right, he's made the way for them to be right with God the Father. And if they hear that and they're convinced of it, they have faith, which means they're fully persuaded of that, then they act on it, then they're saved. Then they partake of salvation. Well, it's the same way, and what we're going to get to today is how do we practically partake of healing? It's great that we've read about it. We've read scriptures that says that that healing is part of salvation, but how do in our own lives practically do we partake of that? How do we make it real? Well, it's the same way as every other thing that we receive from God. It's the exact same way. It's the exact same way that we were saved. And that's what we're going to go into today. But there's some things, there is a part we have to do. Otherwise, everybody would just be walking around healthy and whole. And we know that's not the case today. We have a healthcare crisis because there's so many people that need, that we're looking to doctors and stuff to heal us. Not that doctors are bad. A lot of people would be dead. But our ultimate way we want, there's some things that doctors cannot cure. Cannot. They don't have any hope. If you get certain things, you're done. They'll do what they can, you're done. We have a higher, we have a covenant with Almighty God that we don't have to live in fear like that. We don't have to live that if we get struck with certain things or our child gets struck with certain things, there's no hope. No, there is always hope in God. God trumps anything else. But we have to know how to receive it, how to make it real. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 4:20, we'll start there today. It says there, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. This, in a nutshell, this is, you know, it says there that God's words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. But this principle right here is what will make us healthy and whole. And we're going to go into it. But let's read it again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. What we're going to focus on today is God's word. Knowing what God has said about any subject is what has the power to make it real in our life. If somebody has not heard the gospel, they can't partake of what the gospel entails. If they haven't heard that Jesus has made a way to the Father for them, they can't partake of it. If we have not heard that healing is available to us, we can't partake of it. You know, any other area, if we haven't heard that God has made a way for us to do well and to experience, not experience lack and poverty, but actually to just partake of life as it should be, then we won't be able to take advantage of it. If we don't know what he said about relationships and marriage and how he says to do it, we're not going to be able to take advantage of it. And what he's saying here is in every area that we need to know what God has said and put it into our hearts, keep it in front of our face. If we'll get the word, if find out what it is, then we can receive of it. But we have to, number one, hear what the word is and believe it. And if we can do that, then we can partake of it. It's really that simple. The hard part is that we have distractions on this earth. And specifically, in the case of healing, and the thing that we're talking about today is general, it applies to anything, but it is, you know, of course, applicable to healing, and we're going to talk about it in that context. But the fact is, if we have heard the word, or we look at the word and find out what God has said about healing, we've heard it, we've seen it's true, then we have to believe it. Believing, having faith, means to be fully persuaded. You don't have a doubt. Well, the fact is, we live in a fallen world. We're around constantly things that try to pull us off and tell us that things aren't so. In the case of healing, your body will try to tell you that what you're believing is not so. If you believe that, hey, the Bible says that God, that Jesus has provided health and whole healing for me, the same way he's provided salvation, that they go hand in hand. I've read that. On the other hand, my body's screaming at me, telling me I'm sick. Well, see, that's where the test comes right there. That's where that's the difference between partaking of healing and enjoying it or nothing happening. Because it comes down to is, what do we believe? When in the face of opposite circumstances, what do we believe? And I guarantee you, In the case of your body will scream at you. If you're dealing with some kind of sickness, it will scream the opposite of what God's word says. But it's the same as any other part of the Bible. We have to get to the place where God's word is more real than what we're facing. See, it's the same, you know. People have dealt with this in salvation. That's what Hebrews was written about. You're writing it to Jewish Christians who have family and people telling them that believing on Jesus is not the way to go, that they also have to do these other things. They have things screaming, trying to steal their salvation from them. Hebrews 10, you know, 23, I think it is in there. Hold fast to the confession. That's in the context. He's telling them, don't give up on believing Jesus. No, you have done right. Don't be distracted. Believe. Hold fast your confession. It's the same in every area. We have to hold fast our confession when we believe that God, we've seen it in the Word, that God has provided healing for us. Then to make it ours, we have to say, that's mine. I don't care what contradicts it, that's mine. And when we take it, that's believing God. But to be fully persuaded, we can't let other things push us off. And that's where the battle is. Because it really comes down to just believing God. It's as simple as that. If you can believe, we see it over and over, and we're going to get to some examples. we see it over and over in the Bible. Jesus spoke the word. If somebody believed, they had the results. The thing is, we live in a society where there is constant, and you have your body screaming at you, then you have all these other things that are opposite. You go watch a bunch of certain TV shows and whatever, they're not even, if you get the idea, there is no God. That we have to depend on other sources for our health. It's constantly pulling us away that there's even a Savior to begin with. Well, going back to Proverbs, what we put in, what is in front of our eyes, what is constantly going in is going to affect our ability to believe. If we're constantly putting other things in or putting our attention other places, and then we go and try to believe, it's not trying. It's not that you have to try to believe. You either believe it or you don't. But what will affect your believing? What you put in, what's coming in front of you? It will wear us down. It will get to where our faith, we will look at it and say, I don't know if I even believe this anymore. Things get too much in our face instead of what God is talking about. And I'm not talking about a system of works that you have to study so much until you get your healing. I'm just saying, if you can believe, it's yours. If we can believe and take it, then it's ours. And nothing will deter us. If we say, nope, you know what, I don't care. I don't care what it looks like right now. I'm healed. I don't care what anybody says. I'm healed. God said I'm healed. That's enough for me. I'm going on that word. And we stay steadfast. Guaranteed, we'll see the results. The thing is, we get derailed there. And if we constantly get derailed, we have to look at why is it? Because it's not a matter of willpower. It's not a matter of if I really believe this, I'm going to really try hard this time to believe. If it's so hard for us to try, if we're just constantly saying, I have to try to believe this, I have to, then something is constantly making it hard. We have to look back up the stream and say, what are we feeding in? What is coming up so that we can more easily believe God? If we surround ourselves, like this verse says, let's read it again. My son, give attention to my words. Don't give attention to all this other stuff. Don't give attention. Don't even give attention to what your body's saying. Give attention to his words. Incline your ear to his sayings, not everybody else's sayings, to what God has said. In this case, if it's healing, you look at that and believe what that says. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Just keep that in front of you so that the thoughts that you have are going to be after that. You know that what you put in is what consumes your thoughts. Every one of us probably in here has had news stories. You start looking at the news and certain things, and you keep looking at that, and you look at the headlines, and you keep reading it. Guess what starts popping up in your conversation? Guess what you're talking to your friends about? What is consuming your thoughts? It's whatever you've been putting in. Have you ever had some product that you're interested in? Let's say you're buying a new car, and you get a brochure about it, and you're looking at it, or something that we probably all experience, when young people or anybody starts to be interested in somebody of the opposite sex, and that's what they're thinking about, and they're talking about that person, and that person's in their relationship, and they bring them in, somebody in their teen years, they bring them up in casual conversation all the time because that's what's in their thoughts. That's what they're thinking about all the time. We've seen it in the natural. It's the same thing with spiritual things, that if whatever we're putting in is going to affect how we believe, how we act, how we think, what we want to do is put God's word in so much so that we can't help but believe what God said. We can't help but believe what he said because that's what we're putting in, that's what we're meditating on, that's what we're thinking about. So he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Because it's like this. I don't know how many of you had to comb your hair this morning. I know I did. It didn't stay. I combed it yesterday. I put gel in it yesterday. But you know what? This morning, in fact, my son, I hadn't taken a shower yet. And I was, in the other room. And my son evidently thought I had already taken a shower. And he goes, Dad, you have this big puff of hair in your back of your head. I said, well, I know. My hair right back here, I have a cowlick. And so when I wake up, it's just like that. Well, it didn't stay like that from yesterday. It didn't stay nice and gelled and straight. I had to wash my hair. And if I don't wash it out, if I just try to do a little bit, it's still sticking up. I have to put a little bit of effort to get that thing to stick right. Well, it's the same. It's the same thing. It takes diligence. If we just think, you know what? I've heard that God wants me well. So I'm going to be well. It's just going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. You know why? We have an enemy that's going to do everything he can to try to make that not so. He's going to try to keep it from becoming real in our lives. We're going to have constant, a whole world that's fallen, like we started out saying. I mean, the whole world has fallen and gone away from God's original intent, and it's going another direction. A lot of people don't even think there is a God. They're going over here. So that's going to constantly trying to undo the things that we're trying to believe. Constantly jerk us over here. Constantly. We want to be over here. But everywhere we go, there's things over here. So it takes diligence to keep our believing over here. But if we can do that, all we have to do is believe. Again, I'm not talking about works. And it really is simple, but in practice, if we'll just put things first the way it should be, then our mind will be able to stay where it needs to be. Our believing will be strong. But we want to get jerked over here all the time. And God talked about, or you know, Jesus talked about this exact thing. Let's turn to Mark 1. Or Mark 4:1. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just play religion and play like we know. You know, get a bunch of things that we say we believe, but they really don't work in our lives. That's futile. I want to see the change in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in what is in the Word. And you know what? It's not necessarily easy all the time to walk in what God has said. But when we do, we experience what God intended. We experience His best for our lives, and it's worth it. But when we get the idea that it's just, you know, it's just going to fall on us. And if it doesn't fall on us, then it's somehow God's fault, or it's somehow the whoever we heard it from's fault, or it's the Word's fault or something. It's just the devil's tactics to try to get us circling and basically ineffective. God's Word works. God has not made it complicated. It's just that we've had so much religion and so much junk because the world is in the state it's in. It just tries to pull us off. There is a man side to it. There is something we have to do, but it's not hard in the sense that in the way to understand it, it's not hard. And doing it, it doesn't have to be hard too, but it's just that our flesh wants to do other things. And it's something that we just have to purpose in our heart to do what God said. So here, Jesus is saying, giving a parable. We've all heard this parable probably. It's familiar. So let's start in verse 1. Mark 4, verse 1, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and fell. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But then the sun was up, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, and increased, and produced some 30-fold, and some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears, let them hear.'" Now skip to verse 13. He just, in the interim verses here, he just talks about why he speaks in parables. Verse 13, he explains what he just said. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word.'" What we're talking about, God's word, his will on anything. Whether it is believing just that Jesus has made us right with him, if it's believing healing, whatever, the word of God, what has come from God himself. Verse 14, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Immediately. They hear it, Satan comes through. How does Satan come? Does he come in a person form and just grab it? No. He comes with a thought. He comes somehow, somehow he says, oh, that guy, he'll use any number of ways. That guy does not know what he's talking about. Or he'll say, that's not what your friend said. Or he'll say, that's not what you were taught growing up. Or he'll say, that's not, you know, that's not like the book you're reading. Or he'll use any way to steal it so that you discount what you just heard. If that's the case, it's gone. It's not going to do anything. It's like a seed that came to the ground. And you know what? The birds got it immediately. It's not going to do anything. Verse 16. So back in verse 15, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So you have it where people hear the word of God. It goes in there, say, that is it. That's what I needed to hear. That's going to change my life. And they go for a little bit. But as soon as something comes, as soon as something contradicts it, in this case, as soon as some symptom comes and we're dealing with some sickness or something that we've dealt with in our body for a long time, and it does not look like what we heard, we throw up our hands and say, forget it, it's not true. So we gave it up right there. This is what happens. This is how it happens. This is how it practically happens in our lives. Satan has so many different ways, and don't think that he isn't knowledgeable of our individual knowledge, our buttons, and he'll push it however he can get us to release the word of God and release our faith. It's like, you know, it's like a football player running back running with the ball. If we're running with the ball, he doesn't care about me as much as he cares about the ball. If he can knock the ball out, doesn't matter. He's going after the ball now. He does not care about me. He'll knock me any which way to get the ball. The word is the ball. That's what he is concerned with. Not just because of your life, but because everybody you'll affect. I mean, you talk about affecting people. Look at how rapidly things spread when people that had been crippled all their lives or people that have been dealing with something all their lives, they were healed. That brings substance to your testimony. When things like that happen, nobody can argue with the supernatural. And that is what people are looking for. People are looking for a real God. A real relationship with God, not some self-help thing that just is, you know, a variation of some other book they read. They're looking for God Almighty to experience. And one of the ways is through bodily healing, but also, you know, everything else that God has provided. But Satan's after that to knock it out of you. Because he knows if you get to the point where you realize it's working, and that it works, and that this other stuff may contradict it, but the word is able to be trusted. Once you learn that to a degree, then he can't push you off it. He's going to try again. But anyway, so this is like the stony ground, that they have no root. They get, you know, we get happy. We can get happy because we've heard something, but if it doesn't get down and we don't let it get down and take root, then anything comes and it's gone. Verse 18, he says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It doesn't produce any fruit. So we have the word, we've heard it, it goes down, we believe it, but guess what? Other things choke it. And like we were talking about in Proverbs, he was saying, be diligent, give attention to my words. And what is he saying right here that happened? Your attention drifted. It choked the word. If we would give attention to the word of God and say, no, this is true, this is what I believe, and I'm going to feed myself with this, we decide, we start drifting. It's so easy to drift, to start getting distracted by things that really aren't going to make any difference. Not that they're bad things, but things in our lives or things, interests or whatever, they start going, it starts drifting to where we are really focusing our attention over here. And we're feeding this, like I talked about, you know, if there's some interest we have and it gets too out of balance, now this is what consumes our thoughts. This thing over here, we're feeding this, but we're starving the Word. And then we wonder why we cannot believe, we doubt God, even though we've heard it. We've heard it for years. We know that God, that healing is supposed to work in our lives, but it's not working. We're like, but we doubt. Something is in our body and it's way more real than the Word. Why is that? Because this other thing that we've gotten distracted by is more real than the Word. So the Word becomes weak, so the Word's not as real as this symptom in our body. So what happens? We're sick. And then we get mad at God because I've heard the Word and I've heard it, but it just not doesn't work. Oh, it works. Our interest is over here. It's working there. This is real to us. The Word isn't. The whole system is working. If we'll go back and put God's Word first and say, know what? This is more important than these other things. I want this. The world does this every time. The world puts this, people that it has nothing to do with spirituality, they do this and it works. I've said this many times, but it's a good illustration. Olympic athletes do this. Professional athletes do this. You think the members of the Boston Red Sox don't live, eat, sleep, baseball? They have to. There are 20 some odd players on that team. There's only, 20-something teams or so in the whole league. Those people, they are one in millions how good they are. But you think that just happens automatically, that they stay there because they've made it? There's how many more farm teams that are underneath trying to take their spot. If they don't stay on top of their game, if they don't give themselves to that, if they don't study up for the next game and the next team and know where they need to position themselves because of the percentages that they're where people are going to hit the ball and all this, if they don't stay on top of it, guess what? They slip. Even though they are the best in the world, all the players in the league are the best in the world, but it's not automatic. Just because you're the best, they don't stay on top. They don't. And we think that because we've heard the Word that somehow Satan just goes to sleep and he doesn't care anymore. And so we say, it doesn't matter. I can go over and start doing this and it's real easy. And pretty soon something hits us. And we say, I know what to do with it. And we know in our mind, but we're not convinced at that point. So we go. It'd be like if somebody takes a year off from their regimen in a professional sport and then just pops right back in and says, I'm ready to go. No, they're going to get their rear ends creamed if they go out with the professionals that have been up on it. It's the case. It's in the world. We understand that. Nobody, you would think that person's a fool, but we do it spiritually. We think, we just write it off and make everything, because it is a spiritual thing, we think, we don't use our brains then. It's like we don't have to do anything. And I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about just believing God. If we can believe God, it'll work for us. But how do we believe God? We have to have faith. What is faith? It's being fully convinced. How do we be fully convinced? We got to give our attention so that doubts don't creep in. And when we don't give our attention, doubts do creep in. So then when we try to believe, we're not fully convinced. Guess what? That means that some symptom or something can push us off. We'll give it up. When we're not fully convinced, when we've had doubts, now something comes and it's like, something just barely pushes us and we're off. See, we're not strong to where something pushes us and it's like, no, this is true. Something pushes us, no, the Bible's true. No, the Bible's true, to where we have the fruit. We get sidetracked, like it says. We let something choke the Word. This is a crux. This is the answer to so many things. That we get deceived into thinking things should be really, really easy. Well, Jesus paid for it. Well, he did pay for it. But we have to take it and keep a hold of it. Because he paid a dear price for it. And I guarantee you, Satan wants to knock that right out of us because of the effect that it'll have in our lives and somebody else's. And he's not playing games. But he'll make you think he's playing games. He'll make you think it doesn't really matter so that you are lulled into a false sense of security. Tell you what, you're over here. And then you're not ready. And we have to do what the Word says in order to get the results that we're talking about. Now, you can fall into thinking, oh, I just have to study. It's all about that. Oh, I haven't studied enough, so therefore I don't have faith. You can tell real easy if you have faith or not. Do you believe it? If we don't believe it, if we've had our questions answered and we believe what the Word says, then we're in faith. Then we stay. What happens, how you know you're not in faith, is when you quit. Is when we quit, we get pushed off. So let's finish up here. He says, verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. We accept it, and we bear fruit. We stay. In other words, we accept it. We don't get distracted. When something comes, we don't get pushed off. We stay with it. And guess what happens? The fruit comes up. We bear fruit. We actually walk in the things that God has provided for us. That is what every one of us desires in our lives, in every area. We desire to walk in what God has for us. We desire to walk when we see something in the Word. We desire to walk in it. This tells us what to do. Jesus told us what to do. But you know what? In life, it's easier to do something else. Let's just be honest. It's easier to watch TV. It's easier to sit there and watch TV. And I'm not saying that we have to just turn our life upside down to go this direction immediately, but we have to go in the direction of the results we want. It's easier for athletes, if they're in a certain, to not train. It's easier, but you know what? They won't get the results they desire. It's easier to go off on some other interest to excess instead of giving our focus to God's Word. It's easier to do that. But we want the results that God has for us. We want to bear the fruit. So we need to give focus where the place where we need to give focus is God's Word, and we need to be diligent about it. Like I said, that's just not always easy. It's not hard. Really, it comes down to where we get a desire for God more than the other things. Then it's not hard. I mean, we're still going to have to stay there. In that realm. We're going to have to make sure we don't get off and lose our desire. But, you know, when it's just like a relationship, like in a marriage or anything. You know, at the beginning, you don't have to tell two people to go on dates if they really like each other. Man, it's everything you can do, you know, to stay off the phone or to stay away from each other. But eventually, if we don't feed a relationship, it begins to wane to where it's the same person, same everything. We don't have a desire for it. Well, the things of God are the same way. We have to feed our relationship with God, feed our faith on the Word, and starve out other things, and then we'll get the results that we desire.